Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, great to be back with you guys on a Tuesday night. Of course, Tuesday night this week means Game 6 of the World Series. Now, you know, the thing could end tonight, could end tomorrow, but either way, here in the next 2 days, the 2021 season wraps up, and we can start looking at the offseason. Now, we know what the offseason is going to be filled with. It's going to be filled with labor unrest, and I'm going to be really interested to see if anything at all happens in the month of November. I mean, some things will, like, right, teams are going to decline options on players or pick up options on players, depending on whether those deals make any sense or not, right? The Cardinals will decline, you know, Carlos or Matt Carpenter's options, things like that. But I'm curious to see if anything happens beyond that over the course of the month. I don't know, maybe some teams avoid arbitration with players. I don't know. That's what I'm kind of curious about. I wouldn't think that the big contracts are going to get done, though. I wouldn't think anything massive is going to happen because we don't know about the luxury tax, and that's going to impact the big money players in the big market city. So the fact that that's something that's going to be discussed in the CBA probably leads me to believe that the big stuff isn't happening until it all gets sorted out. So it'd be interesting to see what happens in that regard, obviously. Coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to bring Bob Ramsey in. Bob, of course, Rammer, better known as Rammer, calls the Billikens games for us here on KMOX, does great job. We're going to preview the Billikens season. They start up officially next week. Then we're going to talk some baseball because Rammer and I like talking ball when we get a chance. So we'll talk about some Cardinals stuff a little bit later on this hour as well. I wanted to start just a couple quick things on college football here because the first college football playoff rankings came out tonight. And the committee went with Georgia number one, Alabama number two, even though they're 7-1, Michigan State number three, and they're undefeated coming off their win against Michigan over the weekend, and then Oregon number four. And after that, it's Ohio State, Cincinnati, Michigan, Oklahoma, Wake Forest, Notre Dame. Those are your top 10. Now, it's interesting, and by the way, also extremely predictable, that people are, you know, wailing and moaning about Cincinnati. They're undefeated. What do they have to do to get the respect? Look, they got to play somebody, man. It's not that hard. It's not their fault necessarily. You know, I mean, I understand that, you know, you got to play your conference and the conference they're in is not strong. I understand that you can't always get the home and homes with other big programs. And, you know, you might have to settle more often for just playing on someone else's home field and just dealing with that. And look, they just did that. I mean, they played at Notre Dame and they won. So they have one massive win. The problem is that's all they have. It's all they have. Not to mention the fact they did not play well at all in these last 2 weeks against bad teams. They played like crap against Tulane this past in their last game. They won 31-12, but they needed to pull away late to do it. And Tulane is 1-7. They struggle with Navy. Navy's 2-6. So when you play a weak schedule and your schedule's all about the one signature game, you can't just win that one signature game and then just kind of coast on through and not look good. You got to look good every week, man. You're not in a Power 5 conference. You cannot have those games if you want to be in the top four. So what Cincinnati needs to do is they need to blow out their remaining opponents. They play Tulsa, Tulsa, South Florida, SMU, and ECU, East Carolina. Those are their remaining games in conference. They've got to win all of those games convincingly. You know, the only one of those teams that has a good record right now is SMU. They're 7-1. So it would be a good win if you can get them. And then it looks like right now they'd play Houston in the American Conference Championship. All right, then you got to beat them. And so they're not out of it, But the fact that they're sixth right now is not an insult. You got to play somebody. And when you only play one good team, you can't have those other teams hanging with you. You have to be dominant if you're going to jump over the bigger teams that play a much tougher schedule. So Georgia makes sense. You know, they're the easy number one team in the country. Alabama, I understand. I understand it. You know, I think part of the problem with the way things are in college football is so much of it is about what people think about you coming into the season. And I think that's a thing I would love to see changed. You know, they've got some good wins, Alabama does. But a lot of the teams that they beat when they were ranked, like Florida, they're not very good. They're a 500 team. You know, they beat Mississippi. You know, Ole Miss is fine, but, you know, they're not great. But they're 6-2, and they're still ranked. So it's a quality win. But, you know, the win against Miami doesn't mean anything. Miami was ranked at the time. They suck. So, you know, it's not like Alabama's all that impressive. But, yeah, they'll get their chance. If they win out, which they have a chance to do, they'll play Georgia, and we'll sort it all out from there. But this will change a lot. I don't think Oregon really belonged in the top four. I just don't see the quality of victories there, but I understand it because, you know, Ohio State's got their flaws, Michigan's got their flaws, and by the way, if you're looking at Oregon, Ohio State, both 7-1, well, Oregon beat Ohio State, so maybe that's just the tiebreaker there. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks as we go along, but the first one came out today, thought it was interesting. Coming up next, we're going to change gears from college football to some college hoops. Little preview of the Billikens with the voice of the Billikens, Bob Ramsey, when we come back on KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, back in on Sports Open Line here on KMOX on a Tuesday night. Kevin Wheeler with you live from quarantine. Another couple weeks of this stuff here. I get through all this COVID nonsense. But as you can tell, I'm still working, so it's not too bad. But just don't make me laugh, because then I'm going to cough and then I can't stop and it's a big problem. I know this is a problem, though, because my good friend Bob Ramsey is joining me here to talk a little Billikens basketball and a little baseball. And Rammer, you've had that ability in the past to get me to laugh, so feel free, be yourself. Know that if you don't hear me for a couple of seconds, that's why, because I'm having a coughing fit. How you doing, man?
You're having a fit. Yeah, I'm really sorry that you're going through that. It's such crazy times we live in. You try and do everything right, and that insidious bug still gets you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I mean, we've seen it happen a bunch of times already with the Blues, right? I mean,
yeah,
even guys like me that have been vaccinated, it still sneaks through. But, you know, speaking for myself, it feels like I've had a cold for a few days. You know, it's not been too bad. And now every day is getting a little bit better moving forward. So hopefully we just stay that way. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be back to normal and get out to see a Billikens game, man. we got Billikens basketball on KMO next week. It's coming fast.
I can't believe it. You know, the Bills played their two exhibitions, and that was, well, it was fun except for a moment, which I'm sure we'll get into. But the regular season a week from today, and so it's really exciting that it's here.
Yeah, so next Tuesday night will be the first one here on KMOX, and I believe it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday next week. So a lot of Billikens basketball things on that open week. So do you do voice exercises or drink special tea or anything like that? Because you're going to need to get yourself kind of worked up, and you're going to be like one of these World Series pitchers that's going to be going on short rest all the time.
Yeah, we may need to bullpen one of these games coming up. You know, it is funny that one of the things that one of my failings is that I'm a soda pop guy. And we discovered a few years ago that when I was having voice problems, that it was the soda was the big culprit. And so I just noticed today, I go, I got to go cold turkey again. The season is here. And I'm a little raspy today, but I'll be okay by the time the season starts. And then I also got to watch, compared to so many people, very mild allergies. But sometimes if I get a little allergy drainage, man, it'll lock my throat up. So, yeah, everybody's got their thing, and that's mine.
Yeah, well, I'm right there with you, man. I mean, I think all of us that talk for a living, it's kind of funny. Like, you can do your job with a broken leg. You know, you can break your arm and like, yep, I'm at work the next day. No big deal. But, you know, little scratchy throat. Uh-oh, it's going to be a problem.
He sounds terrible.
No doubt. All right. Well, you mentioned the moment from the exhibitions that wasn't fun. And I think this is obviously the number one story for the Billikens starting off the year with Javonte Perkins going down with the ACL. I mean, one of the best players, the best player on the team last year, one of the best players I thought in a lot of the country last year, when it comes to explosiveness and carrying so much of things and coming up big in big games. I mean, I don't know, how do we measure the loss, because you've already lost a couple of your key guys just because of graduation.
Yeah, so you could make the argument, let me kind of back into that, you can make the argument that you've lost your best three players from last season. How do you compete? The short answer is Travis Ford is a recruiting madman, he and his staff.
That's true.
I mean, they really get after it. But to the moment a week ago in the exhibition game against Rockhurst, when Javonte Perkins went down, you were praying, oh, he just sprained things. But in the back of your mind, you knew that, I mean, it kind of looked like a guy who tore his knee up. Mm. And you even if you tore a cartilage, you say, okay, maybe you're back by exhibition season or by, I'm sorry, conference season.
Right.
And, but you know, ACL, it's a year. And sure enough, that's what happened. And while we all are really disappointed because of what it means to the team and having a team you thought could really do some damage this year, moreover, he's such a great guy and a kid who chose to not turn pro and come back to play for SLU. And it wasn't all truism. You know, he thought he could make himself bigger, stronger, better, have another good year, improve his standing with professional scouts and that sort of thing. And this happens. And so it's frustrating all the way around. But Javonte's a great kid. I talked to him Sunday. And, you know, it'll all be about work and rehab and grinding through it all. And Javonte's the kind of kid who'll do it, and he'll be back.
Yeah, I saw coming into the year, Rammer, he's been mentioned in a bunch of mock drafts as a second-round draft pick, and obviously, you know, big year, and like talked about adding some strength and stuff. Maybe could have worked himself up a little bit. I mean, he's obviously a phenomenal player, but unfortunately now he's going to have to wait and see how that plays out. But I would imagine he'll get his shot, just a matter of, like you said, working through this and then kind of getting your chance, you know, when it comes to the various workout combine that are going to be going on once the college basketball season's over, hopefully healthy by then so you can get a look, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And so then, so now you go back, say you're losing your best three. You lost your best two. What did you lose in that? And I thought the biggest thing was losing double-digit rebounds a game. I think that's still a problem. And then you add the loss of Javonte to it, Kevin, and you've got – now you've got to replace 30 minutes a game and 20 points a game. That's my number. I really believe Javonte was going to be that guy, 20 points a game. And so how do you replace that? And, you know, you can look around the team. And I think the one answer that everybody goes to right away, rightfully so, is Jordan Nesbitt, the local kid who comes back from Memphis, still considered a freshman, which is great long-term for SLU. It's a lot to put on a young man. It's a lot to put on him. And I think points will be there, but he was probably going to play 20 minutes or more anyway. So you've still got more minutes.
Right.
And so Travis will really be working hard to figure out how his depth looks and how to arrange those minutes with his personnel. And I really think he's going to challenge his guys to push the ball and run, because he's got some people now that can get out and run, including a center, Francis Okoro, and Hargrove and Nesbitt. Gibson Jimerson can run. I mean, and Yuri Collins, the point man, can get out and fly. So it could be some real exciting stuff.
I was going to say, you know, you talk about pressing the action, man. That's one strength. Even in losing Perkins, you do have guys that can handle the ball. You got guys that can create off the dribble. You know, the guard play, I would think. I mean, again, we're talking about creating, like, offense, right? Like points. Yeah. But I do think guard play can still be a strength. Does this mean they maybe have to emphasize more of that interior offense and some of the big guys that you mentioned? And obviously Nesbitt being the new guy, more of a wing guy than an interior guy, but still, obviously, is getting to the basket going to be a bit more of a priority, you think?
I think you're right. I think that's great insight. And on the defensive end, Kevin, protecting the rim. Okay, Okoro is going to do that. Martin Linson has become such a leader. You know, we call him the human clinic because he does everything exactly the way you're supposed to do it. And he's big and strong. But who is going to go here? You know, people talk about he's a one, he's a two, he's a three. And we've seen at every level of basketball, that's less important than it's ever been. But
what's
your position? Your position, I think, is really determined by who you're going to guard. Who is going to guard the four man? Who is going to guard the power forward on the other team? The other night, Travis was kind of moving guys around coming out of a timeout, and he looked out at Nesbitt. Jay Nes, you're the four. And Nesbitt looked at him and goes, what? The four? He goes, yeah, you're the four. And I think that the Billikens offensively will play what they call, you know this, but for listeners, a four out, meaning your center, either Linson or Okoro, or even the new kid, Traore, they'll be in, and the other guys will be on the perimeter, and you'll run your thing through that. Defensively, if you and I were coaching against SLU, wouldn't you say, we're going to jam it inside, and let's see if they can stop us?
And try. Right?
Yeah, you try.
If that's the lineup you're going to have out there, right. Yeah, sure. Although you run the problem, though, on the other end, right? That's the big thing in the NBA right now is, like, do you match up or do you go opposite? And, you know, I guess it depends on who your guys are, right?
That's exactly right. And so shooting has just been okay, but I am convinced overall shooting is going to take an uptick, and three-point shooting will go up and free throw shooting will go up. I think this team is going to score close to 80 points a game, maybe more. What will they give up?
Good question.
Will they give up 80? You know, what's that margin going to be? I think that's the critical question.
And the last thing I have on the team, it's kind of building off of all of this, really. It's kind of a summary question for all of it. You know, because we know, you mentioned with Perkins and Goodwin and French out, I mean, you know, those guys, that right there was what, 40 points a game last year. Those guys combined were like 20 rebounds a game and probably close to 10 assists for three of them. But they're also guys that dominated minutes. You know, the fact that, you know, you had those guys on the floor a lot meant that even some of these other guys who can play, especially the guards like Fred Thatch and Yuri Collins, they didn't have the minutes because those guys were good. So is there an opportunity for just extra minutes to help these guys, just give them their chance to take over those roles?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Yuri Collins is going to play heavy minutes. We know that.
Yeah.
I think the centers are going to divide up time a little bit. And I think everybody else, so you got 200 minutes a game, right? So let's say Yuri's playing 30. It's probably going to be closer to 35, knowing Coach and knowing Yuri. And then your centers are going to take 40 minutes. And so, you know, that other, you know, 100 whatever minutes, I think that's going to be – it could be pretty even. And I think Travis is going to be able to literally run guys through, and we're going to push it. And I think there's going to be opportunities, whether it's Andre Lorenzen, Rashad Williams, the kid that came over from Oakland University. I really like him. Six-footer, but he's kind of thick. He can really shoot it. I like his defensive ability. And I think Travis is going to be able to run these guys through here, mix and match a little bit. And I think we're going to have some fun with those minutes.
Yeah, I meant to ask about Williams. So I said that with the last one, but I didn't ask enough about him. I meant to ask about him because he just came in here in the last couple of weeks, right? Just everything got cleared and he got himself in and he's eligible to play. But yeah, he had a couple of years at Oakland, I believe at Cleveland State before that.
Cleveland State.
But he's played a lot of minutes. I mean, this is a guy that has some experience of scoring double digits a game at Oakland.
Yeah, he's a good shooter. Now, historically on his teams, he's been the guy and shot threes in volume. The volume may not been there, the aforementioned rotating guys through.
Right,
but
right.
When he's on, when he releases it, you expect every shot to go in. That's the kind of guy he is, in a quick release. But I think underrated from what I've seen in a couple of games and a handful of practices, his defensive fundamentals, even though he's only 6 feet tall, I think he can be – I don't think he's a one-way player, if you know what I mean.
Right. So if we're going to sum up the team this year, I mean, like, just, you know, the strength of the team, to me, listening to your description, sounds like versatility and depth. Like, they got a lot of guys coming at you, and they can keep coming at you with, you know, what looks like, sounds like 9, 10, 11 guys in the rotation.
Yeah. You know, Kevin, I think that's right. And I would add to that athleticism, in counting true athleticism, running, jumping. And I think these guys are going to get an opportunity to fly down the floor. And I think we ought to be sure and keep a dunk meter for this team, because they are going to throw down. And it's always a lot of fun. I think it was a team that, to me, was going to be a great team. And I think it's a team that I'm confident is going to be good, with an opportunity for greatness. It'll be up to them to get there.
We got my friend Bob Ramsey with us, of course, play-by-play man for the Billikens. You can find him on Twitter at RammerSTL. And, of course, we're going to talk some baseball coming up next. I mentioned this. We like talking ball with our good friend Bob Ramsey. Well, that means both basketball and baseball. So we had a little Cardinals with the play-by-play man for the Billikens up next on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We're picking back up with our conversation with Billikens play-by-play man Bob Ramsey here on KMOX. Of course, we talked all things Billikens in the last segment. And Rammer and I, when we get together, we like to talk a little baseball, whether that's in person or on the radio. So we're going to take advantage of the opportunity to do that here. And Rammer, obviously, we haven't spoken, at least not on the air, since all of the changes with the Cardinals, the managerial switch from Mike Shildt to Ollie Marmol and all of that. So I guess let's start there. What's your reaction to the switch?
You know, I was really stunned. It is funny that anybody can think of whatever your company is, that if you get someone who's even doing a pretty good job, but for whatever reason, we got an oil and water situation, you know, to me, it seemed like an extreme quick move without knowing the inside and the true facts. It felt that way. But I get when a boss looks at a situation and says, man, this is not going to work. And we really believe we've got what it takes to win, but we got to have everybody going the same way. And I don't know anybody that doesn't know Mike Shildt that doesn't really like him, really like him.
Yeah.
Me included. And I don't know him well. So disappointment there, but I understand if you're running a company, you're running a ball club, you sometimes got to make really, really difficult calls. And, you know, you hope it works that way. The choice of Ollie Marmol, however, talk about a guy who nobody says there's never has heard a discouraging word.
No.
Ollie is apparently beloved by everybody.
And that goes back to well before this was a conversation. I mean, we're going back at least to 2017 when he joined the major league staff, where that conversation started about him being a future manager. But we were hearing that stuff, Rammer, even before that. I mean, when you got a guy in their mid-20s managing in the minor leagues, probably a little ahead of the curve. You know, I mean, think about it. Like, when we talk about prospects, we look at guys like Libertor and Gorman at AAA putting up numbers at 21. You're like, okay, you know, numbers at AAA are one thing. But when you're 21 and doing that, that's another thing. And it's kind of the same vibe with Ollie.
Yeah, you know, and here's a guy that and he's kind of been funny in his interviews by saying, hey, you know, I'm hitting under 200 my third year. I got to figure out my future, and made the switch. But it's pretty obvious that kind of leadership, willingness to learn, willingness to communicate what he has learned, that's probably always been Ollie Marmol. And then recognizing that he wanted to coach and identifying it early. Well, the Cardinals must have seen it too. because when he said, I want to coach, they said, okay.
Yeah.
And so it's obviously been the right path.
It's going to be interesting. And I've kind of remained, Rammer, I'm a little agnostic about, you know, trying to even say whether or not I like the change, because I liked Mike Shield. I think he did a good job. Like every manager that's ever come before him, we all have questioned moves. We have all questioned pitching. I mean, the same thing happened with TLR. So if it can happen with a Hall of Famer, it can happen with Mike Shield or Mike Matheny, or, you know, it'll happen with Ollie coming up this season. And I like Ollie too. I guess the only way we're going to know if it's a good move or not, sorry, going back to the old TLR reference, right? It's only a good move if it works.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, so it'll be fascinating to see what differences do we even notice, right? I mean, they're going to be different people, right? So, you know, a different set of eyes might see the exact same circumstances a little differently and have a different plan about who they want to go to in a spot or whatever. But I am interested to see if there's any noticeable change in how they do things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the one noticeable change right away with Mike Shildt when he was the manager was the defense was improved dramatically right out of the gate. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they decided they're going to shift like everybody else. And then, you know, you combine that with the good athletes that they have all over the field. All of a sudden, you're a lockdown defense. I think that was noticeable from Mike Shildt's first full year, right? From 2019 on, that was noticeable right away. I wonder what we'll notice right away about Ollie's tenure.
Yeah, you know, and I think a lot of that I'll have to do with personnel. Let me throw you a change up here, though, because you touched on something that philosophically, I find very interesting. Our analytics people have shown us that I forgot what the number is now, that the shifts so-called work, what, like 80% of the time or something. But we're also seeing this year, and maybe as the year has gone on, and even into postseason, players more willing to go against the shift, take the outside ball, the pitch the other way, and make it work. At what point in a game or with a given player does a guy from analytics upstairs and go, you know, that sheet I gave you on Kevin Wheeler, wad it up and throw it away. Yeah. He's changed. He's doing it differently. And will there be a tipping point in the game where people are going, okay, Wheeler or whomever, he says he's not going to play your game. He's going to play his game.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating because I do think that eventually it's not happening enough. You're right, though. It happens more in the postseason because the numbers, and, you know, people get mad about the term analytics, whatever, but the numbers will tell you that over 6 months, the analytics are right.
Yep.
It's a large sample size. It's 162 games over all of those innings and pitches. It works out in your favor. The shifting, the pulling the ball in the air, all that.
Yeah. But
right. Yes, exactly. But the postseason is not about large sample size. The postseason is about now. Like, how do I get this done right now? And I do think that's part of why we see the two teams that we have playing tonight. And I do think that the better teams have that ability. And I do think the Cardinals have some of those guys that can do some of that stuff that, you know, really of all the regulars, I'm not sure that anybody is overly dependent upon pulling the baseball. I mean, they're all going to be better when they pull. And when you pull the ball in the air, it tends to go really far. But I think you're right. I think teams are recognizing that. And you do see a little bit more of that in the postseason. But I will tell you this. If I play, let's say, I'm trying to think of who the good Juan Soto. If Juan Soto wants to play for singles to left field, have at it, big fella. You can go 2 for 3. You can go 3 for 4. I don't want you hitting dingers. I don't want you getting that 3-run homer. So and feel free. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's why having an extended lineup, okay, you let him do that. But now with the Cardinals, okay, O'Neill, all right, you know, you've got that unbelievable power. You want to go the other way. But now I got Arenado behind you or, all right, here's your teaser, Corey Seager behind you.
Oh, you got my guy.
Now all of a sudden – okay, you know, what do we got to pick our poison. And that's really what the fun of the game between managers is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I make a decision, you counter it. Now I counter it, and I think that's the fun of it.
All right, let's close on this then. Your thoughts on, because we have a long time to sort this out, and I have a feeling there's not going to be much done once the World Series is over between You know, the end of the World Series and December 1st when the CBA expires. I have a feeling it's going to be pretty quiet. Maybe some smaller moves, some things that aren't going to be high level because they got to sort out the luxury tax and all that in the CBA talks. But if just looking at the big picture for the Cardinals, what are your top priorities for them going into the offseason? What are the one or two things you'd like to see them do from a roster standpoint?
In the Rammer wish list, I'd like to have a starting pitcher, a veteran. I'd like to have two bats. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think the Cardinals are do that. Their MO, no pun intended with Mo, is to set the team up in the offseason with some moves. You know, maybe it's a big move like an Arenado or Schmidt sometimes. And then they say, let's sit back and see what we have. And then we know we can make a move in the middle of the summer. That's their MO, and it's been pretty darn successful over the last 15 years. Okay, so I'm going to say a pitcher and a bat. I need a legitimate bat for the middle of the order. I'd love a left-handed bat.
Yeah.
We mentioned Seager. I'll throw in a Kyle Schwarber. But I'd be happy with a right-hander if it was a really good bat that could hit somewhere between 2 and 5 in the order.
Yeah, and I do think that they're not going to want to block all of the kids either, right? I mean, they're going to want – you want to leave a door open for Juan Yepes, who just had a breakout year at the highest levels, and he's tearing it up in the Arizona Fall League. And you want to leave open that opportunity for Nolan Gorman if he shows he's ready. And having the DH and having a guy like Tommy Edman who can move all over the place – I think gives you the ability to work those guys in. But I do agree that like one more proven bat, I think changes everything about the lineup. And ideally, I'm with you, ideally a lefty. Corey Seager's the dream guy. I think he's, you know, he's the perfect fit for pretty much every team, though. Unfortunately, I think he's gonna be a 30 million plus player.
Wouldn't he be? I mean, he's a Yankee, isn't he?
Probably. I mean, they're gonna spend the money because they've reset their luxury tax. They have the need, the short right field porch. He can go there and he's immediately hitting probably in between Judge and Stanton.
Exactly right.
I mean, exactly right. How do you turn that down?
So let's say you don't get him, but you get Carlos Correa or even a guy who to me, I'm not as high on as some other people, Trevor Story. You get a bat. Okay. Then while I still covet a big veteran bat for my DH, you say, you know, we're going to give Gorman the first crack at it. I'd go, okay, I'm a fan. Let's see if it works and kind of fall in line. But if I can bring in a veteran bat and then not block a young bat or two, I can see how that could work.
Rammer, it's always good talking ball, both basketball and baseball.
Yes, sir. It's always fun. And all Billiken action all year long right here on Camo X.
Looking forward to next week getting the regular season started. Going with the big week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we'll do this again soon, Rammer. Obviously, you know, with the season upon us and the off season upon us in baseball, we'll chat and we'll talk real season, regular season hoops, and hot stove baseball every time we get a chance to do it. How about that?
Can't wait, buddy. Looking forward to it.
You can find Bob Ramsey on Twitter at RammerSTL. And, of course, you'll find him here on Camo X next week with 3 Billikens basketball games to start off the regular season. Obviously going to be an interesting year in that regard. If you missed our conversation about the Billikens earlier, you can go to KMOX.com and check out the podcast here in just a little bit. All right, stick around. We got one more segment before we wrap things up here on a Tuesday night on Sports Open Line on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, we're getting ready to wrap up the show for tonight. Obviously, tomorrow night we got a little bit of hockey. We're going to catch up with Jeremy Rutherford tomorrow. Blues will take on the Kings in L.A. Boy, they've been doing the whole – well, I mean, I guess I'm right there with them doing the COVID shuffle, right? But they've been moving players on and off. Looks like Kyle Clifford's now on the COVID list. But good news from Craig Berube today was that that Brandon Saad is going to be back for tomorrow's game against L.A., so that's good. They're also saying that Ryan O'Reilly should be back during this West Coast swing. Also, sounds like Oscar Sundquist could be back during the West Coast swing. So even though some guys have been in and out of the lineup, obviously some COVID, some not, you know, off to a fantastic start. And, you know, we could get to see what this team looks like as a whole in the not-too-distant future. Well, you know, with everybody that you're counting on. May not be lying. You know, I hate to say that, because as soon as you say that, somebody else will, you know, block a shot and, you know, have a broken foot or whatever. Hopefully not. But, yeah, it's going to be fun to see what they look like once they have everybody that they've been counting on, because they really even haven't had that this year. I mean, Sundquist hasn't played at all, and, you know, Buchnevich had the suspension, and Sod's missed now a couple of games from COVID, and, you know, they've had people in and out, and yet, you know, the overall product's been pretty good, and hopefully it'll continue to be good on the West Coast. So they'll get going tomorrow. So we'll talk to JR tomorrow night. We're also going to talk to Katie Wu tomorrow night as well. She's actually covering some of the Cardinals' prospects out in the Arizona Fall League. So we'll get it caught up with her and see what's going on out in Arizona as we wrap up the night. So that's tomorrow night. Just finishing up on, you know, the main things for tonight. Obviously, we've touched on a lot of baseball, as you know, shouldn't be shocking. That's pretty typically what we're going to do on a regular basis. And by the way, you know, game six of the World Series is all about the pitchers so far. Top of the third inning, nothing, one hit each team. So it's moving along. It's kind of a quick pace so far. And knock on wood, you know, everybody that complains about all that can get through it. But I'm really going to be interested to see what comes out of 2021 when it comes to how healthy pitchers are for 2022. You know, everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but I would say the vast majority of pitchers, and I'm talking particularly about pitchers, have seen their workloads increase dramatically from one year to the next because, well, obviously you only played a third of a season in 2020. So, you know, we're seeing some of this now, and I know teams are going to be more cautious about starters than relievers because relievers tend to be on, you know, lighter contracts, and they're not going to, you know, they're not as, you know, not as hard to find. I mean, relievers are a lot easier to just kind of sort through pieces and find. You know, you'll always find some random dudes that end up being better than anybody thought. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to call Tyler Matzek a random dude, but he was out of baseball for like 4 years, and all of a sudden he's the dominant pitcher in the postseason. I do think, you know, and I understand why everybody's doing what they're doing in the postseason. I understand the short outings for the starters. I understand some of that is the fatigue that we're talking about, the fact they didn't throw that many innings last year. And I fully understand all of that, and I understand the strategy of it. What I'm interested to see is whether or not the more we do this, the more problems we have with guys having injuries, with pitchers, and I mean relief pitchers in particular, seeing their performances dramatically change. You know, I'd say that there are a lot of pitchers out there that, you know, when they get worked like this for a couple of years, you know, they get worked real hard in the regular season, you get worked hard in the postseason, and, you know, how is that going to play in the coming years? I mean, do you hit a wall? Not everybody does. I mean, some guys can handle it. Some guys never hit the wall. But, I mean, more often than not, you do. And I wonder what we're going to see when it comes to that. Now, keeping in mind that you're always able to find random guys in the bullpen. I mean, the Cardinals found TJ McFarland. Nobody really wanted him. He came in, did a great job for you. Nobody really wanted Garcia. Brought him in, did a great job. So, I mean, you can always find guys in the bullpen. But at what point do we just start to see it become even more problematic? I don't know. Maybe there is no point. I mean, you know, the minor leagues are loaded with guys that have major league arms, that have major league stuff. They either don't command it well enough or they don't have an opportunity or whatever. I mean, maybe there is no end to the supply of guys that can go out there and get three outs. I mean, that might be a fair way to look at it, but I've been wondering this as bullpen usage has increased in recent years and bullpenning has become more of a thing. I've wondered how much it's going to be, you know, a problem. Like how much you're going to start seeing pitchers just erode. And I know that, you know, it's not 100% that way, but I mean, I'll be honest. I'm a little bit worried about a guy like Giovanni Gallegos, as an example, who's been ridden hard. And by the way, nothing wrong with that. He's a good pitcher. When you need to win, you need to win. You got to put your dudes in there. So it's not. I'm not trying to look at this as a criticism. I'm just saying, I'd be a little worried about that going into next year, given the workload this year, and not just this year, but you know the workload really since he's gotten to the Cardinals. It didn't start off as a lot, but you know his importance has increased every year that he's been a Cardinal. 2019, you know, he threw 74 innings, which is a good amount for a relief pitcher, and he threw 80 innings this year. Now it was only 15 in 2020, but again, I wonder whether or not there's any impact in all of that. Maybe not. I mean, you know, you look at what Gallegos has done and how consistent he's been. I don't, maybe there's nothing to it. Maybe there's nothing to worry about at all. But I think in baseball in general, I'm curious to see how this works long-term because I still think that the smartest teams and the ones that are going to last, the ones that are going to remain consistently good are going to be the ones that can develop and maintain legitimate traditional starting pitchers. And I'm not talking about guys that you're going to ask to go out there and throw 140 pitches. I'm talking about the guys that can go get you six or seven innings every time out. Guys that can get through a third time in the order. I still think it's a massive advantage if you can develop that. And I don't see why you can't do it more than teams do. You know, maybe I'll end up being wrong about that. But I do think that this is one of the things that'll set up well for the Cardinals because what they've been pretty good at is either developing or finding those kinds of guys. I think that's a good sign moving forward. All right, it's going to wrap it up for Sports Open Line tonight. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow night. I mentioned J.P. Rutherford. That's Jeremy Rutherford. And Katie will be joining me. So you guys have a great night. We'll talk some more ball tomorrow night.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.